The adrenaline starts pumping. The heart's going to start going faster. I feel it kick on every single time like clockwork. It happens. Instead of saying, I can't do this, I can't do this, I see that as a way of my body amping me up. My adrenaline is saying, let's go. It's go time. It's go time. Switch your mindset. You start to go from, I can't do this, I can't do this, to my body's giving me energy. It's go time. It's time for me to really over-deliver. God's given me the ability to go do this. So the last thing I want to do is now hold this information back because of some kind of false evidence appearing real, aka fear. It's something false that is there that I'm believing and telling myself in my head subconsciously that's preventing me from giving my God-given gift to other people. Welcome, guys. Welcome back to another episode of Motivate, Grind, Succeed, the podcast where we empower you, yes, you, to level up your life in the areas of faith, fellowship, fitness, and finance. With each episode, we are packing it to the brim with actionable tips, practical tips, and takeaways to help you to thrive. Guys, if you love and enjoy the show, please leave us a rating and a review as it really, really does mean the world to us. And if you guys are interested in the show notes or any resources that we mentioned in this episode, please check this episode's description for more information. Like our new coaching program. Guys, Foundational Pillars Coaching Program is open for clientele. If you are a guy between the ages of 18 to around 35 and you need help on the start of your self-development journey, you've been hearing a lot of this information floating around the internet, like how to start this, how to do this, how to do that, and it's overwhelming. You know what you want to do, but you just don't know how to do it. I'm your boy. Foundational Pillars Coaching Program was built exactly for people like you because I used to be that person. I heard a whole bunch of information about self-improvement. I heard a whole bunch of information about do this, do this, do that. And it was information overload. I had no idea where to start. So if you need help getting clarity on what it is you actually want to do in life, you want to have a step-by-step plan to help you achieve that goal, you want some accountability to help hold you to that goal that you set for yourself, check out the first link in this episode's description where you can go ahead and read about more of what I offer. And if it's something that interests you, go ahead and sign up for a free pathway to peak performance planning session where you and I personally are going to hop on a phone call and we're going to see if we can start crafting an action plan to help you achieve the goal that you want to achieve in life. But let's say, for example, your goal is public speaking. Right, you saw the title of this episode, and let's say you're not 100% ready to go ahead and dive into the deep end and get some help from yours truly. That's all right, because this episode is, as I said, about public speaking, and this is going to be to assist you guys in some public speaking skills. So picture this: stage is set, mic is there, just like here. My mic is right there. If you all are watching the video, you see the mic is right here. But for those of all just listening to this, mic is right in front of you. Most people are going to start hyperventilating, cowering. I don't want to do this. I don't want to talk. I don't want to give a public speech. You start to freak out. Public speaking, though, it is an age old art, and it honestly remains one of humanity's greatest fears. However, it is something that we all must do at some point in time. We are eventually going to have to give some sort of a talk to some individual somewhere, someplace. And so I'm here to give you 5 pieces of actionable advice to help you to start not only becoming better at public speaking, but overcoming that fear of it. And so if you are ready to hear these tips, let's get started. Let's get started. All I ask is that you stick with us for the remainder of the episode. Number one thing that you want to know about public speaking is that you have to know your audience. What does that mean, know your audience? Who in the world are you talking to? That is the question you need to ask yourself. And you need to tailor your content to that. If you're talking to teens, you're going to want to ditch the fancy jargon, ditch the fancy words. You got to talk to them like you're on their level. Otherwise, you sound and you come off as subconsciously holier than thou. And they're not going to want to listen to you. If you're talking to people who have PhDs, you don't want to talk to them in goo goo gaga baby English, because then you'll bore them and, quite honestly, to an extent, insult them, because they worked their entire lives to get to this point of their life, to get to this information. They understand what you're talking about. Talk to them like adults. You have to understand your audience, know who it is that you're talking to. Comedians do this incredibly well. They're able to read a room and see who it is that they're talking to, be able to identify individuals in the audience of saying, okay, this person is laughing at a lot of what I say. This person is probably a happy person. I can probably pick on them and make some jokes about them. And then people are going to get a kick out of that. This person looks a little bit more serious. I'm probably not going to do as much of them. I might play around, poke some fun at them, but see how they respond. If they're not really liking it, then, you know, we move on to somebody else. They're really good at reading a room real time and picking up on those things and then being able to play off of that in real time. So you got to know your audience. Number two tip that I got for you is to practice relentlessly. It'll be pretty embarrassing if you did something like trip up on stage because you didn't rehearse how to walk properly or where you're going to go when you say certain points. If you don't know what to say, you're at a loss for words. Or even, let's take it back from the public speaking example. You're talking to somebody, just friendly networking events or something like that, and you run out of words to say. It's kind of embarrassing to sit there and just sit in silence and just kind of stare deeply into each other's eyes with nothing of what to say. Kind of weird, kind of embarrassing. So one thing that I recommend, I learned this from a public speaking expert. I actually had a podcast episode. He guested on the podcast episode before. And so I'll leave the link down in this episode's description if you want to go ahead and check out that interview. He recommends the one word exercise. And that's to take just one word, just any one word. You can take any, just look at something that's close to you, right? You just look at something, let's say here, right? Let's say if you're watching the video, let's say I'm holding up right now a die-cast Lamborghini. And so you can look at the word Lamborghini, and then you make up a speech. It could be a speech between 30 to 60 seconds where you just talk about Lamborghini. Doesn't matter what you're talking about. You want it to be marketing language? Cool. You want it to just be a motivational speech? Cool. You want it to be anything? You just want to talk about it. And the idea is you want to be able to create and generate something impromptu off the top of your head off of one word. Why? Because when you're talking to somebody that doesn't really want to have a conversation with you, what do? They give you one word, two word, maybe three word answers if they're feeling spicy, right? That's all they're going to give you. And so being able to do this one word exercise, if they just give you one word, you can play off of that. So for example, you ask somebody, hey man, how's it going? Fine. They gave you one word exercise. You gave yourself that the night before. You said, fine. Okay, so now in this case, you're trying to have a conversation. You can ask them, fine. Well, the tone of voice doesn't sound like you're 100% fine. Are you sure you're good there? You know, you're crossing your arms. You look a little bit upset to talk to me. Like, I don't know, did I approach you wrong? Is there something on my face? You know, oh, I know what happened. Come with me, man. Come with me. Let's go get you another coffee. Maybe that's the problem. And you play off of that. And then the person might be starting into a little bit of a better mood because you're taking it playfully. That way they start opening up some more. Let's bring it back high level to the public speaking example. Let's say you're practicing and you're practicing and you're practicing your speech and you get up on stage and you're going, and you forget what you're going to say. You know, you were here on one spot. You forgot this middle paragraph and you needed to get to there. So what do? You pick on one of the last words that you said, make an impromptu paragraph based on the one word exercise you've been practicing, and then find a way to bridge that into the next topic you were going to talk about. Simple as that, right? Now, my people might be saying, oh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that. I don't understand. I don't know. The best thing you can do is practice it. I'm telling you, just practice it. Give it some weeks. And eventually, I'm telling you, the whole fear that you're going to be going through of not knowing what to say is going to be able to start going away. It's going to start diminishing. That whole fear of, I don't know what I'm going to say next, is going to diminish. And speaking of fear, see how I did that? Because my third point is accept the fear. See, the one word exercise in my head, I was thinking fear. And I was thinking, how am I going to incorporate fear bridging into my next point? So third point, accepting the fear. Understand that even me, someone who's been giving public speeches in front of varying crowds, I've been giving speeches in front of high schools, I've given speeches in front of college classes, I've given speeches in front of church congregations, a lot of stuff, right? And I've been doing this for like over a decade, giving speeches. And it never gets easier in terms of the amount of fear and heart palpitations you get. That's natural. If you didn't get heart palpitations, I would actually be questioning, are you even human? Are you like a lizard person with sideways blinking? That would be my question. But obviously, hopefully you're not, which means you do have those heart palpitations. Your heart starts racing. Your mouth probably starts drying up. Accept it. That's going to happen. It's your body's natural way of saying this is an uncomfortable situation, and your body giving you that first inclination of you probably shouldn't do this. But understanding, I'm just giving a talk to people who need to hear or who want to hear what it is that I have to offer in this certain circumstance. And in realizing, okay, nothing is going to happen in terms of anything bad, right? Like, no one's going to like walk up on stage and sock me in the face. Like, that's not going to happen. Most people are coming just to hear what I have to say, hear me talk, hear the information that I have to give, take notes, ask questions. That's it. They're not coming to try to knock me down off the stage. So accept the fear, accept that that's going to happen, and it's never, ever, ever going to go away. So if you're waiting for that one thing to make it go away, let me tell you, it will never go away. Take it from someone who's been giving public speeches for over a decade. It never goes away. It gets less and less, and you just notice that it's there, and you're able to just time and time again just say, okay, I feel the palpitation coming. Like, even till today, I have it down to a science. Like, I know if I have to give a speech or if I have to give a talk on something that's in front of a crowd, I just say, okay. And I know I'm not going to really feel anything start to come on until someone says, okay, you're on in 10. Boom. Like, just like that, I'm already going to start feeling everything happen. I'm going to start to feel at that moment, the adrenaline starts pumping. The heart's going to start going faster. I can feel like my eyes widening because I can start to see, like, I can start seeing in the mirror dilation of pupils. Like, within 10 minutes to the moment I have to walk on stage, I feel it kick on every single time, like clockwork. It happens. I've just taken that and rewired my brain instead of saying, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I can't do this. I can't do this. To instead of doing that, to telling myself, all right, that I see that as a way of my body amping me up, giving me adrenaline to be able to push through this. No matter how tired I am, my adrenaline is saying, let's go. It's go time. It's go time. It's go time. And so what you do is you start to switch your mindset. You start to go from, instead of saying, I can't do this, I can't do this, switch it to, my body's giving me energy. It's go time. It's time for me to really over deliver. These people are here to hear what I have to say because I'm qualified to give this. I've been scanned to do this. God's given me the ability to go do this. So the last thing I want to do is now hold this information back because of some kind of false evidence appearing real, aka fear. It's something false that is there that I'm believing and telling myself in my head subconsciously that's preventing me from giving my God-given gift to other people. So accept the fear, accept that it's going to happen, and rewire it. Use it as fuel instead of use it as a hindrance. Number four, when you're up on stage, when you're talking to people, what you want to do, you'll notice I do this in almost every single episode of the podcast. You want to engage people with stories. You want to engage people with stories. People like personality. People like to be able to relate. So when I say, for example, I've given speeches on in front of high school classes, some of you all who are listening probably said, oh, I did that before too. For example, if I say I was on speech team and I gave, for those of you who know what speech team is, I gave original oratory speeches and I did humorous duet acting. For people who know what speech team is, they know exactly what it is that I'm talking about. So now you all understand, oh, I can relate to him. I did those kind of things. I did that kind of thing. Cool. He did the same thing I did. That's what you want to do. You want to engage with personal stories. You want to engage with personality. If you remember back to the last episode that we talked about, the last episode I talked about building meaningful relationships, episode 126, we talked about in there about embracing vulnerability. This is sort of vulnerability in the fact that I'm letting you more into my personal life, telling you, hey, I did speech team. Hey, I spoke at church gatherings. Hey, I spoke in front of high school classes. I spoke in front of college classes. I did all these kind of things. I'm engaging with you, telling you stories of my personal life. And in doing that, it makes me seem more personable. It also allows me to subconsciously understand, okay, this person now knows more about me. So now this person is automatically deemed as more friendly because in your brain, you figured, oh, I just told this person something that's more private about me. Meaning that I'm starting to form that connection with them. I'm letting them deeper into my head, deeper into my life. We kind of share some sort of a connection now. You feel a lot more comfortable over time with being able to just engage with those stories and people just loving it. They're eating it up. They're relating to you. They're even more invested in what you got to say. And that's where you get your standing ovations from. Finally, point number five, feedback. You need to receive feedback in some sort. This can be asking people, what did you think about the talk? What did you think about this? What did you think about that? Asking people for a survey. Or if you can, if you're being videoed, for example, go find the videographer and ask him for a clip of you speaking so you can go ahead and review it on your own time. So that way you can see what did you do good, what did you do bad. You need the feedback. You need it. This is partially why I always ask you guys to leave me a rating and a review, because when you're truthful about the rating and reviews, I know I'm either doing a great job or I'm doing a horrendous job. And then from that, I can then tune and tweak what I do to make it better to fit as many people's bills as possible, so I can impact as many people as possible. That's the reason why I ask. To say, hey, leave a rating and a review, or to hit me up on social media and let me know how much you love the content, or if you want me to change the content up, what do you want me to talk about? That's why I ask, because feedback is golden. You don't know if something's working if you don't ask the people who you're giving it to. Like, hey, is this working? Is this what you want? Let me know so I can tweak and tune and change. Otherwise, I'm just going to keep pumping out the same stuff and you don't like it and I have no idea and I just keep pumping out. It becomes this negative feedback cycle now. If I pump out stuff, you don't like it, you don't listen. And so I'm like, what's going on? I'm not getting any feedback. I don't know what's going on. So let me go even harder, pump out more stuff. But maybe you didn't want ABC, you wanted ACB. So if you just told me, hey, I want ACB instead of ABC. Oh, okay. So let me just switch these things around and now people like it. It's all just to benefit the end person at the end of the day, because going back to the whole thing of public speaking, if you get the feedback of what people like, what people don't like, and something that you did that a majority of people don't like, you know, okay, let me not do that next time, or let me reduce that or diminish that in the amount that I do. So that way, next speech that I give, I can then not hammer that point as hard, or I cannot do that gesture as much, make a conscious effort to not do that, so that way more people can resonate. So that's the five tips that I got for you today, guys. Know your audience, essentially know who it is that you're talking to. Practice relentlessly. Practice, practice, practice. Keyword, one word exercise. Again, if you want to hear more about that, check out the episode that's linked in this episode's description. Number three, accept the fear. It will never go away. I'm telling you, it will never go away. Just accept it and use it as fuel. Number four, engage with stories. Talk about personal examples. Embrace it, embrace it, embrace it. When I say embrace it, I mean embrace the stories. Embrace that you're going to be slightly vulnerable with these stories. But in the end, it makes the personality and the engagement so much better. And number five, feedback is gold. Pinpoint where you can improve, how you can improve, and actually do the improvement. And guys, that's what I've got for you this week. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to another episode of Motivate, Grind, Succeed, the podcast. And I hope you guys got something valuable from this episode. If you guys want to leave me some feedback, be sure to leave a rating and a review, or send me a message on Instagram or wherever you find me on the internet. All those links will be down in this episode description. Or if they're not there, go ahead and check the episode show notes. They'll be there. Until next time, guys, take care of yourselves. I'll catch you all in the next one.